We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 33rd chapter, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi had described the ascent of Sanherib to destroy Jerusalem. The Navi had described in Pasuk Zayin, Hein Elam Tza'aku Chutza. It's as though the angels, or the Elam we discussed could be the altar, Malachi Shalom, the messengers who would ordinarily give word of peace, Mariv Kayun, they weep bitterly because the Nashamu Mesilot, the paths have been destroyed, Shavat Verorach, who's passing, Hefer Berit, the enemy undid the covenant, the pact we had with them, Ma'as Arim, and they destroyed, they defiled the cities. Lo chashav enosh, humans had no value in their eyes. Great destruction. And here we have two understandings as to what period we're talking about. We're going with the understanding that this is talking about the period of Sanherib, the Assyrian king, who conquered most of Israel but was not successful in conquering Jerusalem. And that's what the Navi tells him, Taharu Chashash, in verse 11, Yud Aleph, your pregnancy is your thoughts. It's as though you became pregnant with Chashash, which is hay, Teledukash. And so when you're pregnant with hay, you'll give birth to straw, to cat, to kash. Yeshaya Lamed Gimel Yud Aleph, 33:11. Ruchachem, your spirit, your desire, your thoughts, Eish tochalchem, fire will consume you. And that's what happened at the gates of Jerusalem, that Sanherib and his men amassed a huge army. It was impossible for us to win. And Hashem sent a plague and they dropped dead. Our tradition is that they actually saw an angel going through their camp and killing people. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vehayu amim misrefot zid. The masses of the nations that have come to take down Jerusalem, they are going to be like burnt seed. One of the ways they make seed, you say seed in English, is they would burn rocks. They would burn the rocks, and somehow in the heat they had a way of grinding down the rocks into what we call limestone. I don't know what seed is in English. You guys have a translation there.
Yeah,
how do they translate?
It says so be as the burnings of lime.
Seed is limestone. Okay. Kotzim kesuchim ba'esh yutzatu. Just as you cut down thorns, and when thorns are very dry, because a thorn tree doesn't have to soak up water. It has no. It isn't developing any fruits. So the best wood, when you want to make a fire, one of the good types of wood is the thorn tree. So a thorn burns very quickly, and that's how the camp of Sanherib will be quick to be burnt and destroyed. Shimu rechokim asher asiti ud'u kerovim gevurati. Pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, from afar, people will hear what I've done. It was a tremendous miracle. It got great publicity. Ude'u kerovim gevurati, and those who were up close, the Assyrian camp, they recognized Hashem's might. Pachadu v'tzion chata'im. And then when the Assyrian Empire ascends over Jerusalem, so those who are righteous, they know Hashem told them everything's going to be okay. Who got scared? Just before the great miracle, the people who got scared were those who had transgressed. Those who were sycophants were enveloped with trembling. Mi yagulanu eishochela, mi yagulanu mokedei olam. Mi yagulanu. Now the word gur has many meanings. Yagur could mean like ger, a sojourner, to live. Mi yagur lanu, who will live. They're going to say, who is going to be able to live over here with the great camp, the Assyrian camp that's attacking. Miyagur lanu, who's going to live among us? Who's going to make it? Eish ochela, there's this consuming fire coming because the Assyrian Empire seemed unstoppable. They went into northern Africa, they conquered Cush, they conquered Egypt, they conquered Ammon, they conquered Moab, they conquered the eastern side of the Jordan, they conquered the northern part of Israel, they devoured the northern 10 tribes, and now you have this small enclave of Jews in Jerusalem. Who's going to last? Who's going to stand up to them? Mi agur lanu? Who's going to live around here? Who's going to remain from us? That's the nature of people. When catastrophe strikes, they start discussing who's going to make it. I have a relative who was in an investing firm in 2008. When the markets crashed, he told me they used to sit at lunchtime and make bets. Who's going to have their job in a year? That was their wagers during lunchtime. Mi yagur lanu mokedei olam. This fire has come, and it is a universal, an international fire that is consuming the world. That's how they viewed the Assyrian Empire. So the verse in context, we understand. But this verse has another application. The verse says, "Pachadu v'tzion chata'im." Those who transgressed, they are the ones who were scared in Zion. And so the Talmud describes a discussion between two rabbis. One rabbi said, "You have nothing to fear." And the second rabbi answered him, "But the verse says in Proverbs, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, praised is someone who's always concerned, who's always scared." And he answered him, so the first rabbi answered him, and he said, "Pachadu v'tzion chataim." Our pasuk, a person's only scared if he has transgressions. If you don't have transgressions, you got nothing to fear. So we all have transgressions. We got what to be scared of. But there is such a level where a person says, "I got nothing to be scared about. I've been doing my job in this world. Hashem runs the world and I don't know where he's taking me. But I got nothing to be scared of because I've done nothing wrong."
But you also expect to be at the level where you judge like Rabbi Akiva. He didn't know, but he said, you know, he's willing to take it. He's not afraid of painful death. Doesn't mean he's not going to get punished when you say you're not afraid. That punished is wrong. Doesn't mean that he's not going to go through terrible pain.
Right?
He's
right.
Just not afraid of it if it's, he feels it's
yeah, your assumption is that Rabbi Akiva didn't deserve it. In Tractate Avos to Rabbi Nosson, it says Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. And when they ostracized Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva did not go learn by him, so he had halachic validity for it. But when he came to visit him, when Rabbi Eliezer was lying on his deathbed, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, "I feel very bad for you because of the way you're going to die."
But the idea of all scary martyrs, we know, you said it last night, it's not an ATM machine in this world, it's measure for measure for each individual. In some level, in the many worlds and many lives, it may be. But in this world, there is a collective judgment. Sometimes the people who are so guilty didn't know much have to pay for the generation, right? That's the concept.
There is such a concept.
So to say no fear is what, you have no fear because you're willing to accept whatever happens, not because nothing bad is going to happen.
Yeah, that I agree. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no guarantee that it's going to be pleasant.
Yeah.
Not having fear, that's what he's stressing. Not having fear doesn't mean I know it's going to be fun. I don't know what it's going to be. But I know I shouldn't have what to be scared of. And that's a level to aspire to. And if we really think about that, then that should spur us to action. Very often we don't apologize. We don't make amends for what we did wrong. And at the end of the day, that haunts us. If we would get up and say, "I don't want to walk around with that burden. Let me fix it. Let me go and say I'm sorry. Let me go and apologize. Let me try to fix it. I don't have to walk around with that fear. Oh no, I'm carrying that weight on my back." And the product of not doing it is that a person is always concerned, "Hey, maybe now Hashem's paying me back for what I did wrong and I never took care of it." Pachadu v'tzion chataim. So that's what the Talmud says. The pasuk tells us when does a person fear? When he knows he hasn't lived up to his end of it. Pasuk Tetvav. Holech tzedakot v'dover meisharim. It's as though Hashem is answering the people and says, if you've lived a righteous life, if you've been honest in the way you speak, mo'es b'vetza ma'ashakot, if you scorn, if you are not interested in the bribes that people give in order to oppress other people. People are only successful in oppressing others if they could bribe those in charge. There's a judge, there's a jury, there's a police force, there's a government. There are always systems intact. Why is it that people get away with being evil? Because they're bribing. So if a person is righteous and they speak honestly, yeah, that's a tough one. Speak honestly, and they scorn those bribes that people try to give in order to oppress others. Noel kapav mitemoch bashochad. One who tries to cleanse his hands from accepting bribes. Otemos no mishemo adamim. He closes his ears when people try to convince him to be a part of their murderous plots. Votzeminav mereot bira. And a person closes his eyes. He doesn't want to see that which is evil. He doesn't want to witness. He doesn't want to look at things that he shouldn't really be seeing. So this pasuk is a very important pasuk about how to lead life. Now, the pasuk also indicates that we're talking to the leadership, the people who would be bribed. And here, again, we need a little bit more background. Our sages say that at this juncture in Jewish history, there was a great divide in Jerusalem. You had Chizkiyoh in his piety. Even though he is king of Jerusalem, he ate a small amount of bread every day. He didn't eat meat. He drank a small amount of water. He had a little humble pitcher. And as king of Jerusalem, he led this pious lifestyle. And at the same time, there was someone there called Shevna. He was the scribe. Shevna, he was the one in charge of everything that went on in the palace. And what happened was, everyone spoke to Shevna because he was like the minister of affairs. And Shevna started attaining political clout. He reached a point where the masses of Jerusalem were behind Shevna. And Shevna would sit down for breakfast, and they'd set out a huge table filled with young birds. He'd eat a ton of meat every day, and he'd drink tremendous amounts of wine every day. And he'd say, this is how a king should behave. You know, he'd be this forceful, in-your-face, arrogant leader. But you know what? People very often are taken by someone like that. Very often someone who's arrogant can actually get ahead. And people do look up to him. They don't see through all that. And Shevna would promote his behavior. He would mock Chizkiyoh's piety and say, you see him? That's not a king. King shouldn't be eating small amounts of bread and little amounts of water. King should be like me. You're the king. And slowly Shevna, he went to the area where the Davidic dynasty would have burial plots, and he established for himself a tombstone as though he would be the next king to be buried by King David. Like he was the continuation. And it reached a point where the majority of Jerusalem backed Shevna. And when the Assyrian Empire surrounded Jerusalem, Shevna told the people, we will make peace with the Assyrians. And we will give over the city to the Assyrians and we'll continue our empire wherever the Assyrians tell us. Now he obviously had an interest. This was a way of usurping Chizkiyoh. Chizkiyoh goes and prays and he asks the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, does the majority count? Because the majority is with him. I have the minority. And Hashem says they don't count. That when the wicked unite, the wicked don't count. They're not a factor in what's going on here. So Hashem describes through the Navi, you want to know who's going to last when you're surrounded? Those who are righteous, those who are honest, those who cleanse themselves of bribes, those who try not to look at evil. This is a very important concept. Our sages say, try not to see evil. We live in a generation where they show you after a terrorist attack, most instances it's recorded. So you can see videos of people being murdered. You can see videos of the terrorist being shot. Why? Why would I want to see that? Why are people so into seeing a burnt victim? It's this concept of seeing horror movies. The Navi describes, close your eyes, don't see evil. When we see evil things happen, it affects our soul. What we see affects us. One of the rabbis in Tractate Megillah was asked, why did you attain longevity? And he said, I never looked an evil person in his face. Never looked them in the eye. You'll notice the Yemenites have a custom. They won't look people in their eyes. You have to be someone worthy in order for them to look you in the eye. When they hire workers and stuff, they always look down as they talk to them. They won't look them in the eye. Person's not supposed to look at evil things. We're supposed to look for good. You have to deal with it. You can't say, I'm a doctor. Oh, no, he's bleeding to death. Leave me alone, right? Obviously, there are things you have to deal with. But today, the idea of being entertained, of clicking on that clip, where today they'll show you the beheading of people. So, to watch ISIS behead someone, that's evil. Why would I want to see that? I have to deal with it. I have to try and prevent it. But I have to look at the evil actions. Why? One of the descriptions of the pious people of Jerusalem is not only that they're honest, not only that they're not interested in bribes, not only that they're not interested in partaking of murderous plots, but they also close their eyes and they don't want to see that which is evil.
You know, there's a big difference between, I have to say, you know, not looking at beheading, which is terrible, of course, and don't hire someone if you think he's evil. But if you're going to have someone work for you, there's this idea of greeting anyone in the marketplace. And how do you know this guy's evil? If you do, you shouldn't be hiring him.